find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, my goodness, most certainly goes without exception. He is a world-class matchmaker for aspiring business owners. Essentially, he helps franchise partners find opportunities that fit their skills and interests, their expectations around what legacy looks like for them through the American dream of business ownership. This individual is really one of the world's top matchmakers, and I am honored to have him on the show. TJ Corey, welcome.
Likewise, Nick, and God, thanks for that gracious introduction. The feelings are mutual, my friend. I've watched a lot of your material content just around a lot of different topics, you know, brand experience, quality franchising, and a whole host of topics. And yeah, the feelings are mutual. So thank you for that kind introduction.
Yay. Well, we'll do our best today to help our audience level up. I'm certainly looking forward to our conversation as we prepare for this 4th of July holiday weekend. TJ, folks don't often think of franchising as being something like a painting company, for example, right? Oftentimes, folks think of McDonald's or Burger King. And, you know, funny thing is, I had a mentor, and he shared with me to often talk about, you know, as long as it is legal, ethical, and makes money, it can be franchised. And that, you know, the longer I've been in franchising, the more I've seen that to be true. My gosh, over 4,000 different brands in franchising. That's a lot of, and that's across a lot of different industries. And so I say all of that, TJ, because I'd like to hear from you. How did franchising find you?
Well, I always loved that question, and thanks for asking it. I'd have to say early, man, as a teenager, I worked in two franchises. One was a sub concept called Little King, 17 years old, learned how to run a tomato slicer, make a sub, and even be a delivery boy at Little King sub sandwiches. So like a lot of us, we may have had that first part-time job or full-time job in franchising and noticed that, man, there was a lot of quality controls back then. There was certain kind of procedures you had to follow, a certain process, cleanliness, keeping the slicer clean. But no, it was a pretty good first job for a 17-year-old to kind of learn about quality, delivery, customer service. And by the way, I'll never forget that owner. He always used to encourage us to smile and have a good time. That's one of the things I remember him as being kind of one of my many early mentors. But aside from that, later on, my first role out of college was I was a data broker early on in my career, mid-90s. And I really enjoyed working with data, launching franchisees, helping them start out there with their lead generation programs. And my Nick, we're talking about 30 years ago, my friend. We were selling data back in the mid-1990s that was optimized to the target customer and target populations and so forth. So anyway, that's enough about me on how franchising found me.
Yeah, what a neat story, right? And I think a lot of folks can relate to that. And franchising touches so many parts of our life, and we're not even aware of it. And that's just one of the many things that I really appreciate about franchising. It's exciting to see the way that franchising is becoming more and more accessible. And I don't know if it's necessarily a secret anymore, but I do think there are a lot of misconceptions, or, you know, stereotypes, or I guess just lack of familiarity with franchising at large. And it's just neat that, you know, someone like yourself in your teens is working for a franchise, you know, providing franchising provides so many jobs across the country and helps folks develop those skills and appreciation for executing on a process.
Mm-hmm. It was. And I always like to tell, not to focus on food and beverage, but there are lessons to be learned for kind of coaching young talent, you know, people that are, 16, 17, 18 years old, even in the skilled trades like you're in, highly skilled trades. But my little second role, I got to touch on this because it was super important. When I was 18, I worked at Long John Silver's at 18 years old, and that they had a lot of procedures, specific ways of preparing things. You had to learn about the specific lead time, how much time that fish could stay in the window. After 15 minutes, that fish had to be pulled off and put in the garbage. Why do I take the time to describe that? Franchises have a system, a process for that quality, that freshness, quality control. And this spills over into every brand experience that's out there. So one of my big takeaways from that mentor, who was one of my favorite mentors too, was the site manager at that Long John Silver's, was just his razor sharp attention to quality, quality control, friendliness, and that what we today call the total brand experience, right? We read about this in books. And Nick, I know you're a huge fan of total brand experience, because Lime, from beginning to end, from the very first touch point all the way through the entire process, your experience with Lime, it is a total brand experience, man. I can attest to it.
Thank you for saying that. Means a lot. And so you're clearly speaking to your matchmaking skills and your experience, and clearly you were shooting back, you know, a few decades ago there when you got your start.
Three decades.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, and so speaking of matchmaking, how did you get into doing just that, consulting folks on finding a business opportunity to pursue?
Well, a lot like many people, you know, so I spent 17 years with two Fortune 1000 companies, working in enterprise sales, enterprise relationship management, one with a kind of a globally recognized company called DHL Global Mail, then did another tour of duty with another Fortune 1000 company, really enjoyed it, loved every aspect of it. But boy, there came that day where, man, I want to do something on my own. You're looking at your clock, you're looking at the watch saying, okay, I've got about 15 years of time left on the clock. This is my chance to jump and do something. So, prior to becoming an independent franchise broker and a consultant, I did a lot of matchmaking. You know, I used to have to interview account executives, make sure we were bringing in the right kind of a person, the right kind of soft skills, right? The right kind of humility, all the things that we need to find for great business owners also happens in the corporate world. So a lot of those skills are kind of transferable. So when I say matchmaker, you know, I like to think of myself as a good matchmaker, but I'm really looking at more than just what's on the surface of a person. I'm looking a lot further than what's on a resume. And be honest with you, half the time, I really don't care what's in their background. I'm looking more for character, integrity, And those kind of core things that really matter. Someone's really got that stick-to-itiveness too. So matchmaker, but I'm out there. I'm kind of that character filtered guy. But anyway, that's enough about me on that part.
Right. And how did you get into it? How did you get started?
You know, Franchise Brokers Association is a network that I'm affiliated with. It is a group of, man, there's probably over 1,000 members if you go all across the board, but that includes a lot of people in a lot of professions, attorneys, accountants, brands, sales organizations, a whole host of professionals. I got involved in franchising through that network and through that association. And that's how I got involved in franchise matchmaking and so forth. And again, what brokers do, it's not really sales per se. That's probably one of the biggest misconceptions in our space is that brokers are salespeople. We're really doing quite a bit more than that. And there's a lot of boxes to check along the way when we're working very closely with a client, looking at their preferences, kind of their personal needs, their lifestyle, ambitions, finances. Everything has to match. And then there's even another 15 boxes that we check after that.
Right. So much training and certifying goes into doing what you do well. And yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the Franchise Broker Association. There's, I don't know how many different organizations that I guess you would consider as an alternative to FBA, but FBA is one of the top firms because of, you know, their emphasis on the training and the approach that helps with successfully matching folks with opportunities that are right for them. And frankly, it's on a person by person basis is what defines right. And so thank you for your 30 years in the industry and what you're doing as a matchmaker with the FBA. You, amongst so many other folks like yourself, are incredible leaders in the space and in matchmaking. And I admire the company that you're a part of. And I really like the way that you guys do things. And I know franchise candidates do as well. So I wanted to hear from you. You've helped countless people become franchise owners. What's the one mistake you see aspiring franchisees make that almost guarantees failure?
What a good one. You mean failure in terms of their fit? Is maybe not taking that extra time during due diligence to understand the roles, responsibilities, the day in the life, and a whole host of those things. I would say that there's not a lot of failures in franchising, right? In fact, it's got a higher probability of success than going off on your own and starting your own business. Statistically, I think even the U.S. Department of Labor, and if you look at the FTC tracking reports and so forth, franchise failures are a lot, much, much less percentage than if you were to start your own. But to answer your question there, I think that failure is a matter of someone losing their passion, losing that drive to want to succeed, or they just were simply the wrong fit for business. That's, again, another reason I spend a lot of time talking about ownership, responsibility, being that leader that we know all of us have that leader inside of us. But we spend a good 1 hour during our assessments making sure that people are doing things for the right reasons and they're motivated for the right reasons before they even consider buying a franchise. In fact, if I'm working with a specific candidate and if they're very trepid or very, not quite sure about it, we're not going to position a franchise brand for them or make a recommendation for them to even consider franchising unless we feel like they've got it in their gut. They're properly motivated, right? Everybody's got to have motivation. Sure, some of us will have our bad days where we might be a little lazy, might get out of bed an hour late, you know, go walk the dog for an extra hour. But no, no question about it, Nick. Any business owner needs to go into that with a good belly full of fire, ready to go after it, and most importantly, have that passion, that true passion to want to do it and succeed.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, I would even add to that, right? By working with a matchmaker, it even further reduces your risk in business ownership. You know, what you're speaking to is, I was also thinking about the fact that, yeah, you're probably going to tell some folks, hey, it's not right. And it might not be right now, but hey, down the road, you know, let's put a plan together to close the gap so you can become an owner. And, you know, as opposed to doing it right now, it's just all those pieces that need to line up to make for a great fit. Because it's not just the franchise candidate, someone that's looking to invest, that's considering a fit. It's also the brand, and a lot of things need to align for that to be a successful match. And it might not be right now, but it could be down the road. Thank you for sharing that. And I agree, my gosh, so much of it is about passion and, creating something that doesn't quite yet exist. And as a franchisor, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, helping folks once they've, we call it, you know, getting to the other side. Once they've worked with somebody like yourself and they become a partner and they're on the other side and they're no longer considering ownership, but they've successfully become an owner. Right. It's back to the mindset again. So I love that you're working on the mindset there on the front. And it's all about executing and developing those skills to execute, despite not always having all the answers. And as an entrepreneur, that's fundamental to what folks need from you, whether it's your clients or your employees, whoever's looking for your leadership. You certainly have to have that passion and perseverance to, stick to it and deliver and to have fun doing it.
That's right. Have fun doing it. And I always tell everybody, you know, Tiger Woods has a swing coach. Well, why does Tiger Woods have a swing coach? You know, so even the best of us are going to need some correction once in a while, maybe a little proper motivation from time to time. We see that really popular right now in the white collar space, professionals that have even been successful in their own right in the corporate world for 30 years. Well, they'll go out and use a professional coach, kind of help them hey, let's sharpen that blade a little bit more, right? Iron sharpens iron. One of my favorite things in my church men's group is we talk about iron sharpens iron. So I think to be a successful franchisee, also has that component, right? Not just the stuff that's like, hey, let's get gritty and let's stay determined and, you know, let's all be athletes. That's great. A lot of us played sports. We've been successful in the past. A lot of guys have track records, but you do have to have that, just like I said, that grit and determination for continuous professional improvement and have a little humility along the way, right, Nick?
Yeah, coachability goes a long way.
It does. Yeah, you see where I'm going with that one.
Right. Yeah, coachability and perseverance, they are the pillars of discipline, frankly. And that is business ownership execution. And so you've seen behind the curtain of hundreds of brands, TJ. What separates a good franchise from a great one?
Clearly, yeah, I've got my checklist. You know, when I go to match a client to a prospective brand, I'm looking for years in operation, experience. I read thoroughly the FDD, the franchise disclosure documents. I'm really big too on that item number one, item number two. You always wonder why those are there, right? And why are they number one and number two in the FDD? Why isn't it number five, six, or 20? And that gets right to the leadership experience, background, affiliations of the founder, and the leadership structure. One of the very first things I read. The next thing I do is I go out to LinkedIn, other tools, and I read the track record of the founder, mostly because I love founder stories. I'm very curious as a professional. Every morning I get up, I want to learn something about somebody new. And I really love hearing those all-American stories about how someone built their dream, built up a proof of a concept, took it to market, fine-tuned it, and then built the thing. I just love those stories. So as a consultant and as a coach, I read up on these things, and I find it extremely important that those are the first two criteria that I look at, is a number of years in operation, and I look at the bench, the leadership bench.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you even go as far as, meeting and building the relationship with the leadership team in person. That's something that I really admire about you. You know, you not only came out to our headquarters to meet our team really pull back the curtain and dive deep into the brand, but you did it multiple times. And you even included some of your family, which, know, I've always just appreciated, because I can see your passion and your love for franchising. And it clearly speaks to why you're so good at what you do. You're a little bit of a franchise geek like myself, or nerd, however you want to coin it. Right. Data, going back to the data. Exactly. Yeah. But there's so much of a people component, right? And thank you for that insight. What's a red flag in a franchise disclosure document, also known as an FDD, that almost nobody pays attention to, but they should?
Okay, so I look at on two things there. I look for some franchise systems that might be selling too many too fast. There is such a thing as smart growth. And just because something is trendy and might be trending super well, if I look on that FDD and I see that they sold, 78 locations last year, to me, that's a flashing yellow. It's not a red light, but it's a flashing yellow. Then I would go back and I would actually personally do my own due diligence with that head office, get to know the infrastructure, get to see the support mechanisms and people and personnel that are in place to be able to successfully launch 50 or 60 or 70. So that's just one of the things I look for. Just because it's a high flyer for 6 months does not always mean that's the next great thing. Secondly, as a good consultant and as a broker, we'll be highlighting these things. It's math, right? It's mathematics. It's numbers. If we were to sell 70 franchises to you tomorrow, Nick, and handed them over to you and said, "Hey, buddy, let's go launch all 70 of these in the next couple of weeks," that's not how this works, is it?
Not so much.
But you could spread, if that was spread out over a rational time period, we would be able to successfully support and launch and train and even do the post-training support that's required to really get those people off onto a great launch. By the way, I did spend 2 days out at your headquarter office, and it was such a great experience. I sent my 22-year-old son out there to also spend a day and a half with your team. And it was because of that respect for your guys' culture, the team you've got there, and that overall just toe-to-toe experience with everybody on the team. We're just all top shelf. So I wanted my son to experience that firsthand, to understand what does it mean when we say support. It always sounds good, right? Support, 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 training, training, training. To me, it's just words unless there's actual meat on those bones.
Right. Yeah. And so many times, you know, hey, look, those 70, 100 franchise partners, they may, you know, have been awarded the past year, and you're really not going to know the success of those of that year until 2 years down the road. So, you know, yeah. If it's a new brand that awarded 100 locations in a year, you know, it's still flashing yellow until those owners are, you know, that cohort of owners is about 2 years down the road. That'll really give you a feel for, you know, the quality of the numbers. You mentioned it comes down to the numbers, and, you know, if it's flashing yellow or, you know, you have any of those question marks, understanding the ramp for revenue and what the cash burn is, and, you know, how long it takes to get that revenue above your monthly expenses. That's about as basic as you know, it's so straightforward there, but such an important indicator of, you know, if you are curious about that red flag, or as you coined it, you know, something's flashing yellow, it's always best to speak to the owners and understand, you know, the time in which it takes to ramp past the expenses that come in the business every month. And that you can build a lot of questions from there. I clearly don't do what you do, but that's just something that came to my mind. And, you know, being on the other side, knowing, hey, what matters, what doesn't, that's how we're coaching. We're looking at, hey, how do we get you to exceed your expenses and get to that break even as fast as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was referring to that year over year unit growth, I was looking at holistically the whole system, right? And so we look for healthy year over year growth. So that's just one component I look for. The other thing I like to look at is of course, the item 7, make sure those ranges make sense to the person applicable to their market. You know, are they opening up in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, or in, you know, New York City? What's on those financial startup costs should be much different, right? If we're doing it in New Jersey or New York versus in Des Moines, Iowa. Completely different cost structures, and we have to accommodate for that working capital and making sure that the soon-to-be business owner has plenty of working capital and plenty of overall cash reserves before buying that franchise in New Jersey. So I hope that makes sense. That's when you ask me what's the other thing I look for on the franchise disclosure document, it's definitely that item 6 and item 7.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, how are you ramping, and what are the total costs, right? How much do I need to dedicate toward initial marketing or supplies? You know, for us, we wrap a vehicle, you know, a lot of those startup costs and you probably need, you know, X amount of working capital as well. And it sounds like it's not a bad idea to be conservative and maybe even throw plus in a little bit extra to, yeah, exactly. Yeah, such golden advice, TJ. So imagine someone is stuck in a job they hate, but they want freedom. What's your elevator pitch for why franchising might be their path out?
Boy, you're asking some great questions today, and I love it. You can tell I didn't come with prepared questions, so I love it.
Yeah.
I would say for most people looking for a path out, it's really, when you make the jump to small business ownership, it's very similar to making that change with the W-2 role. You know, you go home, you sit down with your loved ones, your spouse, you sit down, talk about making that transition, making that jump. Do it for the right reasons, like we talked about before. But it's very important to have a supportive spouse or supportive, you know, husband, wife, both ways. I love working with really strong married couples and talking to the both of them throughout my consultation process on the front end, because I get to know them both. I get to know their strengths of each one. Not to get off too far off on a different thing here, but I'd love to know which of the two partners is going to keep their day job and keep that train running while the other one steps away. So I think that'd be the second component there to all of this, is making sure that is kind of firmly grounded in good decision-making before we even start looking for a brand. It's not go, let's go talk about franchises and how great it is and get out the balloons and the steak and the sizzle and then talk about, oh, by the way, which one of you two is going to step away from your day job and go execute the business plan? We have that conversation, Nick, very early on in the process. And I just love working with couples and addressing both of their needs as it relates to these things.
Wow. So when you're talking about, you know, somebody, you know, stuck in their job and they, you know, let's say they hate it and they want that freedom. So it sounds like a big part of your elevator pitch is, you know, this is something that you can do with your significant other. And frankly, that's a little bit of the hack.
It is. Well, you and I both know, well, at least my experiences have been, most of the strongest franchisees are power husband-wife combos. We see that today in real estate, right? Some of the top performing real estate agents are mother and daughter combinations, right?
Right.
At least in my market, it is. You see a lot of father and sons. You see a family agency. Very similar kinds of power comes in franchising when you've got both couples fully committed. And even if only one of them is going to spend a few hours a week helping with the tracking or the reporting, maybe just overlooking the scheduling, quality control, they may only have the time to put in a few hours a week. But if you've got that one supportive spouse, your chances of success have almost doubled, right? All of us can probably execute on our own, but if it was me, I'd love to have my wife be a part of whatever I'm doing. That's just me.
It's always been my personal cheat code. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a little bit of a superpower. And I can tell you, being on the other side and being a franchisor and being in partnership with, you know, couples, that is a superpower. And we talk about it quite a bit. And so, my gosh, what words of wisdom there, and something that you probably didn't even think of. So TJ, I want to transition, you know, somebody is considering franchise ownership. What are some questions they should be asking themselves before they begin the search?
Well, there's a good broker, you know, in my space, we always do a pretty good assessment, everything. Backgrounds, let's talk about what you enjoy doing, preferences and so forth. But I like to get to make sure that the financial foundation is properly set up as well before we start looking at brands. So comfort level, current liquidity, total current, you know, net worth. Also look at kind of what their balance of their portfolio looks like, just at a very high level. Again, we do not serve as financial planners or financial advisors, but we do look at diversification of portfolio. We're dealing with a lot of clients right now that are in their, my generation, in their 50s, that are looking for great ways to not only preserve wealth, right, but not just ride into the sunset and burn away whatever capital that they've got set aside for retirement. I'm also seeing a big trend out there of people in their 60s that are eligible for retirement. They've saved up a good amount of money and they could easily retire and be comfortable in retirement. But there's something else that's kind of pulling them. They want their mind active. They want to stay physical active. And all of us have been reading about this stuff, like the fastest way to get old is to go do nothing. So I really enjoy working with clients that are in there in that kind of similar generation that I'm in, that want to stay active, stay physically fit like you, Nick, stay in shape, keep your mind active, run a team, you know, do stuff. So there's a lot of things you can do for their, again, as long as the fit is proper and it's a comfortable investment for them and that you're not stretching too much beyond the investment comfort level. And I'm really passionate about that component as well. And it's fun doing that part on the matchmaking, because how often did you get to really pick specifically what you want to do with your next chapter in life? Usually in the W-2 world, in the corporate world, you take that job, you just go tackle it, right? You go after it, but you didn't really get to pick exactly what you wanted to do or what your impact was going to be. You just went out there and did it, right? That's what a lot of us did.
Yeah, what a fun process to be consulting in right there.
It is. And we do get a lot of people that do want to pick. They want to be pick what they want to do. And it's a really, it's a fun thing to be involved in.
Right. I think about what we do at Lime in how we help clients fall in love with their home again. But the other part of what we're doing is helping them express their personality through their space, whether it's inside or outside. And so that design part, one of my favorite parts of what we do, being able to help shape and help them fall in love with their home. For you, it's, you know, helping them fall in love with what they do in this final phase and kind of how they round out their legacy, which, as I mentioned, sounds really exciting. And we also have franchise partners that, you know, can relate to that. And so, yeah, what an honor to help folks create freedom and flexibility and legacy and create value in their community through job creation or solving problems. Like for us, you know, we evaluate a lot of sun and water damage on luxury estates. And these are very expensive assets that deteriorate from sun and water damage. And, you know, we provide very vetted solutions to clients that own those type of properties. You know, you can think of Uber Black, but again, just hitting on that part of like for us, that's the value, the difference we get to make in the community. And we show up through our values: gratitude, enthusiasm, tenacity, love, integrity, mission, excellence, discipline. It's our Get Limed slogan. That's how we serve our clients, serve one another. And, you know, if somebody's going through that matchmaking process, that's for them to fall in love with and choose. And, you know, it's much more than just kind of the high level. There's the nuts and bolts of what's the org chart and what are the levers in the business that need to be pulled to generate leads and to create satisfied customers, and, you know, so much of which you spend your life doing. And yeah, TJ, thank you again for being on the show. So much of what you've said has certainly inspired me, and I hope you are leveling up as you are watching. But I have another question for you. It's a good one. So what advice would you give to someone who just signed their franchise agreement?
Okay. Man, stick with that mission, right? You're buying into a system. That system, they've already done it 50 times, 100 times before. You know, there's books written on this stuff that have nothing to do with franchising. You know, stick to the knitting. We all learned that back in business books back in the 90s, right? Peter Drucker, you know, play to those strengths, use the playbooks, use the operating manuals, follow that system and follow that process, especially when you're first coming out of the gate. Always keep that strong belief in that system and don't doubt it. You know, you're able to validate, you're able to see other players in the system that are being very successful. So especially that first 6 months, sleep well at night, know you've made a good decision, but also remember to execute on that plan, right? In franchising, the only time we ever hear about people that might be struggling are the ones that maybe try to stray off the boat a little bit, or maybe do it their own way. That is my golden best advice, is just go with the program. Take advantage of all the learning opportunities. For my goodness, there's so many things. When you're also launching, take advantage of every learning experience extra training. There's all kinds of voluntary groups that get together. They call them cohort groups, mastermind groups, learning engagements. Take advantage of that early, because once your team gets spun up and you get your first 2, 3, 5, 6 employees going, you'll have plenty of work to do then. Now, that first 6 months is your time to take it all in, take advantage of all the franchise resources and that learning and that extra business development support that, the franchises like Lime does. And their team is, again, the team at Lime is second to none.
Yay. Yeah, get her done, right? Follow the playbook, execute, follow the process. Those are such fundamental golden nuggets there, TJ. Thank you for sharing. And they, even though they are obvious, they can oftentimes be overlooked. Why? Well, in your first year, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of firsts, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, because you're doing a lot of things the first time. And you are in this position of punching through and becoming a business partner. And that it clearly demonstrates your ability to execute and get things done. That's a big reason why you're awarded a franchise. So you can go out, get it done, grow the brand. And together with the franchisor, you go wide and deep across the country and grow the brand together. It's very much a partnership. And you are relied on to execute and go get it done. But, you know, just the 1 year quirkiness of it can be a little bit distracting. You can get caught up in the forest, if you will, and not necessarily see above it and lose track of the fact that, look, there is a process, there is a system, there is training, and that's what I invested in. And that's what's going to help me shortcut and get in stride with the way, whatever that way is. For us, it's the Lime way. And everything about the business is designed around that Lime way. And so, yeah, your go-get-it-done-ness about who you are, it is paramount to what's going to make you successful. But you definitely don't want that to hold you back from being a good student and a sponge. And so it's a little bit of a juxtaposition there. And so great advice, TJ. You know, as much as you get after it and figure it out and get it done, you have to be a sponge and be coachable and get in line with the system. And once you do and you're in stride, you know, the system wants you to help innovate and improve the customer experience. But there are standardized ways to go about collaborating and innovating. And so, again, together, you're ultimately serving the customer. And that alignment there is what makes franchising so special and why customers love it. And it creates consistency and quality across a lot of different industries. So, again, TJ, thank you for your commitment to franchising and everything you've done. My final question to you, why do you love franchising so much?
I'm a systems guy, you know, I like systems, processes, procedures, you know, roadmaps, all those keywords, you know, I don't want to use all the buzzwords here, but you know, blueprints, roadmaps, KPIs, dashboards, all the above. The third, I'd say the second conclusion here is being a former technology guy for 20 years, watching computers modernize, dashboards modernize, integrations get better and better and better. You know, 30 years ago, we couldn't run a business from a tablet, right? There wasn't an Apple tablet back then. We had the first iPhone. But today, this the reporting, sales analytics, the scheduling tools, all that integration is such a beautiful thing. And we just didn't have that stuff 30 years ago. We just didn't. It was in silos. It was kind of clunky over here, kind of cool over there. You had a contact manager over here 30 years ago. But today, really, you can just embrace using what the franchise has built. They've got that technology and these stacks done. And that's one of my probably favorite parts about franchising is the whole modernization of the automations and modernizations of the interactions that you have with the tools. But anyway, that's a little bit of the data nerd and technology junkie in me.
Right. Technology is so integral in scaling. And especially with AI today, my goodness, but one single business owner compared to, you know, a group of owners across the country, you know, that can collectively pull resources to level up that infrastructure. That's a big advantage of a franchise organization. You talk about innovating and continuing to evolve the customer experience. In the background, you know, being a franchisor, there are constant betas and iterations that, you know, if you're a single operator, you just frankly don't have the bandwidth or the infrastructure to do. And yeah, just some of my favorite things about franchising as well, TJ. My gosh, thank you again for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. A lot of mutual, lot of respect for you, man. And I'll be out to Denver to see you guys again, probably next year.
Let's go.
Either a hockey game or something of that nature.
Absolutely. I would love that. Yeah, most certainly. So thank you, TJ, once more. Again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And if you appreciate it as much as I do, smash that subscribe button down below. It's how we are able to continue to grow and bring thought leaders like TJ onto the show. TJ, if folks would like to reach out to you, how can they get in touch?
Z&Z Franchising. Z like the letter zebra. N like Nancy. Z like zebra. Z&Z Franchising.com. That's my site. You can also find all my contact information right there. Love to have a no obligation consultation. I usually spend about 30 minutes with all my clients, just getting to know them. We spend a 1 hour assessment together. That's not talking about any brands. We don't talk about any franchises for the first 2 hours. It's all about getting to know you as a business leader, getting to know your family, getting to know your goals. So I appreciate that, Nick. Let me put a plug in.
Absolutely. Such important work. And one of the top matchmakers here with the Franchise Broker Association, one of the top matchmakers in the country, frankly. And if you have enjoyed this, again, drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, my goodness, most certainly goes without exception. He is a world-class matchmaker for aspiring business owners. Essentially, he helps franchise partners find opportunities that fit their skills and interests, their expectations around what legacy looks like for them through the American dream of business ownership. This individual is really one of the world's top matchmakers, and I am honored to have him on the show. TJ Corey, welcome.
Likewise, Nick, and God, thanks for that gracious introduction. The feelings are mutual, my friend. I've watched a lot of your material content just around a lot of different topics, you know, brand experience, quality franchising, and a whole host of topics. And yeah, the feelings are mutual. So thank you for that kind introduction.
Yay. Well, we'll do our best today to help our audience level up. I'm certainly looking forward to our conversation as we prepare for this 4th of July holiday weekend. So yeah, TJ, folks don't often think of franchising as being something like a painting company, for example, right? Oftentimes, folks think of McDonald's or Burger King. And, you know, funny thing is, I had a mentor, and he shared with me to often talk about, you know, as long as it is legal, ethical, and makes money, it can be franchised. And that, you know, the longer I've been in franchising, the more I've seen that to be true. My gosh, over 4,000 different brands in franchising. That's a lot of, and that's across a lot of different industries. And so I say all of that, TJ, because I'd like to hear from you. How did franchising find you?
Well, I always loved that question, and thanks for asking it. Well, I'd have to say early, man, as a teenager, I worked in two franchises. One was a sub concept called Little King. 17 years old, learned how to run a tomato slicer, make a sub, and even be a delivery boy at Little King sub sandwiches. So like a lot of us, we may have had that first part-time job or full-time job in franchising and noticed that, man, there was a lot of quality controls back then. There was certain kind of procedures you had to follow, a certain process, cleanliness, keeping the slicer clean. But no, it was a pretty good first job for a 17-year-old to kind of learn about quality, delivery, customer service. And by the way, I'll never forget that owner. He always used to encourage us to smile and have a good time. That's one of the things I remember him as being kind of one of my many early mentors. But aside from that, later on, my first role out of college was I was a data broker early on in my career, mid-90s. And I really enjoyed working with data, launching franchisees, helping them start out there with their lead generation programs. And my neck, we're talking about 30 years ago, my friend. We were selling data back in the mid-1990s that was optimized to the target customer and target populations and so forth. So anyway, that's enough about me on how franchising found me.
Yeah, what a neat story, right? And I think a lot of folks can relate to that. And franchising touches so many parts of our life, and we're not even aware of it. And that's just one of the many things that I really appreciate about franchising. It's exciting to see the way that franchising is becoming more and more accessible. And I don't know if it's necessarily a secret anymore, but I do think there are a lot of misconceptions or, you know, stereotypes or I guess just lack of familiarity with franchising at large. And it's just neat that, you know, someone like yourself in your teens is working for a franchise, you know, providing franchising provides so many jobs across the country and helps folks develop those skills and appreciation for executing on a process.
Mm-hmm. It was. And I always like to tell not to focus on food and beverage, but there are lessons to be learned for kind of coaching young talent. You know, people that are, 16, 17, 18 years old, even in the skilled trades like you're in, highly skilled trades. But my little second role, I got to touch on this because it was super important. When I was 18, I worked at Long John Silver's at 18 years old, and that they had a lot of procedures, specific ways of preparing things. You had to learn about the specific lead time, how much time that fish could stay in the window. After 15 minutes, that fish had to be pulled off and put in the garbage. Why do I take the time to describe that? Franchises have a system, a process for that quality, that freshness, quality control. And this spills over into every brand experience that's out there. So one of my big takeaways from that mentor, who was one of my favorite mentors too, was the site manager at that Long John Silver's, was just his razor sharp attention to quality, quality control, friendliness, and that what we today call the total brand experience, right? We read about this in books. And Nick, I know you're a huge fan of total brand experience because Lime, from beginning to end, from the very first touch point all the way through the entire process, your experience with Lime, it is a total brand experience, man. I can attest to it.
Thank you for saying that. Means a lot. And so you're clearly speaking to your matchmaking skills and your experience, and clearly you were shooting back, you know, a few decades ago there when you got your start.
Three decades.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, and so speaking of matchmaking, how did you get into doing just that, consulting folks on finding a business opportunity to pursue?
Well, a lot like many people, you know, so I spent 17 years with two Fortune 1000 companies, working in enterprise sales, enterprise relationship management, one with a kind of a globally recognized company called DHL Global Mail, then did another tour of duty with another Fortune 1000 company, really enjoyed it, loved every aspect of it. But boy, there came that day where, man, I want to do something on my own. You're looking at your clock, you're looking at the watch saying, okay, I've got about 15 years of time left on the clock. This is my chance to jump and do something. So, prior to becoming an independent franchise broker and a consultant, I did a lot of matchmaking. You know, I used to have to interview account executives, make sure we were bringing in the right kind of a person, the right kind of soft skills, right? The right kind of humility, all the things that we need to find for great business owners also happens in the corporate world. So a lot of those skills are kind of transferable. So when I say matchmaker, you know, I like to think of myself as a good matchmaker, but I'm really looking at more than just what's on the surface of a person. I'm looking a lot further than what's on a resume. And be honest with you, half the time, I really don't care what's in their background. I'm looking more for character, integrity, and those kind of core things that really matter. Someone that's really got that stick-to-itiveness too. So matchmaker, but I'm out there. I'm kind of that character filter guy. But anyway, that's enough about me on that part.
Right. And how did you get into it? How did you get started?
You know, Franchise Brokers Association is a network that I'm affiliated with. It is a group of, man, there's probably over 1,000 members if you go all across the board, but that includes a lot of people in a lot of professions, attorneys, accountants, brands, sales organizations, a whole host of professionals. I got involved in franchising through that network and through that association. And that's how I got involved in franchise matchmaking and so forth. And again, what brokers do, it's not really sales per se. That's probably one of the biggest misconceptions in our space is that brokers are salespeople. We're really doing quite a bit more than that. And there's a lot of boxes to check along the way when we're working very closely with a client, looking at their preferences, kind of their personal needs, their lifestyle, ambitions, finances, everything has to match. And then there's even another 15 boxes that we check after that.
Right. So much training and certifying goes into doing what you do well. And yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the Franchise Broker Association. There's, I don't know how many different organizations that I guess you would consider as an alternative to FBA, but FBA is one of the top firms because of, you know, their emphasis on the training and the approach that helps with successfully matching folks with opportunities that are right for them. And frankly, it's on a person by person basis is what defines right. And yeah, so thank you for your 30 years in the industry and what you're doing as a matchmaker with the FBA. You, amongst so many other folks like yourself, are incredible leaders in the space and in matchmaking. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is I admire the company that you're a part of, and I really like the way that you guys do things. And I know franchise candidates do as well. So I wanted to hear from you. You know, you've helped countless people become franchise owners. What's the one mistake you see aspiring franchisees make that almost guarantees failure?
What a good one. You mean failure in terms of their fit? Is maybe not taking that extra time during due diligence to understand the roles, responsibilities, the day in the life, and a whole host of those things. You know, I would say that there's not a lot of failures in franchising, right? In fact, it's got a higher probability of success than going off on your own and starting your own business. Statistically, I think even the U.S. Department of Labor, and if you look at the FTC tracking reports and so forth, franchise failures are a lot, much, much less percentage than if you were to start your own. But to answer your question there, I think that failure is a matter of someone losing their passion, losing that drive to want to succeed, or they just were simply the wrong fit for business. That's, again, another reason I spend a lot of time talking about ownership, responsibility, being that leader that we know all of us have that leader inside of us. But we spend a good 1 hour during our assessments making sure that people are doing things for the right reasons and they're motivated for the right reasons before they even consider buying a franchise. In fact, if I'm working with a specific candidate, and if they're very trepid or very, you know, not quite sure about it, we're not going to position a franchise brand for them or make a recommendation for them to even consider franchising unless we feel like they've got it in their gut. They're properly motivated, right? Everybody's got to have motivation. Sure, some of us will have our bad days where we might be a little lazy, might get out of bed an hour late, you know, go walk the dog for an extra hour. But no question about it, Nick. Any business owner needs to go into that with a good belly full of fire, ready to go after it, and most importantly, have that passion, that true passion to want to do it and succeed.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, I would even add to that, right? By working with a matchmaker, it even further reduces your risk in business ownership. You know, what you're speaking to is, you know, yeah, I was also thinking about the fact that, yeah, you're probably going to tell some folks, hey, it's not right. And it might not be right now, but hey, down the road, you know, let's put a plan together to close the gap so you can become an owner. And, you know, as opposed to doing it right now, it's just all those pieces that need to line up to make for a great fit, because it's not just the franchise candidate, someone that's looking to invest, that's considering a fit. It's also the brand, and a lot of things need to align for that to be a successful match. And yeah, it might not be right now, but it could be down the road. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I agree, my gosh. So much of it is about passion and, creating something that doesn't quite yet exist. And as a franchisor, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, helping folks once we call it getting to the other side. Once they've worked with somebody like yourself and they become a partner and they're on the other side and they're no longer considering ownership, but they've successfully become an owner. Right. It's back to the mindset again. So I love that you're working on the mindset there on the front. And it's all about executing and developing those skills to execute, despite not always having all the answers. And as an entrepreneur, that's fundamental to what folks need from you, whether it's your clients or your employees, whoever's looking for your leadership. You certainly have to have that passion and perseverance to, stick to it and deliver and to have fun doing it.
That's right. Have fun doing it. And I always tell everybody, Tiger Woods has a swing coach. Why does Tiger Woods have a swing coach? So even the best of us are going to need some correction once in a while. Maybe a little proper motivation from time to time. We see that really popular right now in the white collar space, professionals that have even been successful in their own right in the corporate world for 30 years. Well, they'll go out and use a professional coach, kind of help them hey, let's sharpen that blade a little bit more, right? Iron sharpens iron. One of my favorite things in my church men's group is we talk about iron sharpens iron. So I think to be a successful franchisee also has that component, right? Not just the stuff that's like, hey, let's get gritty and let's stay determined and, let's all be athletes. That's great. A lot of us played sports. We've been successful in the past. A lot of guys have track records, but you do have to have that just, like I said, that grit and determination for continuous professional improvement. And have a little humility along the way, right, Nick?
Yeah, coachability goes a long way.
It does. Yeah, you see where I'm going with that one.
Right. Yeah, coachability and perseverance, they are the pillars of discipline, frankly. And that is business ownership, execution. And so you've seen behind the curtain of hundreds of brands, TJ. What separates a good franchise from a great one?
Clearly, yeah, I've got my checklist. When I go to match a client to a prospective brand, I'm looking for years in operation, experience. I read thoroughly the FDD, the franchise disclosure documents. I'm really big too on that item number one, item number two. You always wonder why those are there, right? And why are they number one and number two in the FDD? Why isn't it number five, six, or 20? And that gets right to the leadership experience, background, affiliations of the founder, and the leadership structure. One of the very first things I read. The next thing I do is I go out to LinkedIn, other tools, and I read the track record of the founder, mostly because I love founder stories. I'm very curious as a professional. Every morning I get up, I want to learn something about somebody new. And I really love hearing those all-American stories about how someone built their dream, built up a proof of a concept, took it to market, fine-tuned it, and then built the thing. I just love those stories. So as a consultant and as a coach, I read up on these things, and I find it extremely important that those are the first two criteria that I look at is a number of years in operation. And I look at the bench, the leadership bench.
Right. Yeah. And, you even go as far as, meeting and building the relationship with the leadership team in person. That's something that I really admire about you. You not only came out to our headquarters to meet our team really pull back the curtain and dive deep into the brand, but you did it multiple times. And you even included some of your family, which, I've always just appreciated because I can see your passion and your love for franchising, and it clearly speaks to why you're so good at what you do. You're a little bit of a franchise geek like myself, or nerd, however you want to coin it. Right. Data, going back to the data. Exactly. Yeah. But there's so much of a people component. Right. And so, yeah, thank you for that insight. What's a red flag in a franchise disclosure document, also known as an FDD, that almost nobody pays attention to, but they should?
Okay, so I look at on two things there. I look for some franchise systems that might be selling too many too fast. There is such a thing as smart growth. And just because something is trendy and might be trending super well, if I look on that FDD and I see that they sold, 78 locations last year, to me, that's a flashing yellow. It's not a red light, but it's a flashing yellow. Then I would go back and I would actually personally do my own due diligence with that head office, get to know the infrastructure, get to see the support mechanisms and people and personnel that are in place to be able to successfully launch 50 or 60 or 70. So that's just one of the things I look for. Just because it's a high flyer for 6 months does not always mean that's the next great thing. Secondly, as a good consultant and as a broker, we'll be highlighting these things. It's math, right? It's mathematics. It's numbers. If we were to sell 70 franchises to you tomorrow, Nick, and handed them over to you and said, "Hey, buddy, let's go launch all 70 of these in the next couple of weeks," that's not how this works, is it?
Not so much.
But you could spread. If that was spread out over a rational time period, we would be able to successfully support and launch and train and even do the post-training support that's required to really get those people off onto a great launch. By the way, I did spend 2 days out at your headquarter office, and it was such a great experience. I sent my 22-year-old son out there to also spend a day and a half with your team, and it was because of that respect for your guys' culture, the team you've got there, and that overall just toe-to-toe experience with everybody on the team. We're just all top shelf. So I wanted my son to experience that firsthand, to understand what does it mean when we say support. It always sounds good, right? Support, 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 training, training, training. To me, it's just words unless there's actual meat on those bones.
Right. Yeah. And so many times, hey, look, those 70, 100 franchise partners, they may, have been awarded the past year, and you're really not going to know the success of those of that year until 2 years down the road. So, yeah. If it's a new brand that awarded 100 locations in a year, it's still flashing yellow until those owners are, that cohort of owners is about 2 years down the road. That'll really give you a feel for, the quality of the numbers. You mentioned it comes down to the numbers, and if it's flashing yellow or you have any of those question marks, understanding the ramp for revenue and what the cash burn is, and how long it takes to get that revenue above your monthly expenses. That's about as basic it's so straightforward there, but such a an important indicator of if you are curious about that red flag, or as you coined it, something's flashing yellow, it's always best to speak to the owners and understand the time in which it takes to ramp past the expenses that come in the business every month. And that you can build a lot of questions from there. I clearly don't do what you do, but that's just something that came to my mind. And, being on the other side, knowing, hey, what matters, what doesn't, that's how we're coaching. We're looking at, hey, how do we get you to exceed your expenses and get to that break even as fast as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was referring to that year over year unit growth, I was looking at holistically the whole system, right? And so we look for healthy year over year growth. So that's just one component I look for. The other thing I like to look at is the, of course, the item seven, make sure those ranges make sense to the person, applicable to their market. You know, are they opening up in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, or in, you know, New York City? What's on those financial startup costs should be much different, right? If we're doing it in New Jersey or New York versus in Des Moines, Iowa. Completely different cost structures, and we have to accommodate for that working capital and making sure that the soon-to-be business owner has plenty of working capital and plenty of overall cash reserves before buying that franchise in New Jersey. So I hope that makes sense. That's when you ask me what's the other thing I look for on the franchise disclosure document, it's definitely that item six and item seven.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, how are you ramping and what are the total costs, right? How much do I need to dedicate toward initial marketing or supplies? You know, for us, we wrap a vehicle, you know, a lot of those startup costs and you probably need, you know, X amount of working capital as well. And it sounds like it's not a bad idea to be conservative and maybe even throw plus in a little bit extra to, yeah, exactly. Yeah, such that. Good, such golden advice, TJ. So imagine someone is stuck in a job they hate, but they want freedom. What's your elevator pitch for why franchising might be their path out?
Boy, I did. You're asking some great questions today, and I love it. You can tell I came, didn't come with prepared questions, so I love it.
Yeah.
I would say for most people looking for a path out, it's really when you make the jump to small business ownership, it's very similar to making that change with a W-2 role. You know, you go home, you sit down with your loved ones, your spouse, you sit down, talk about making that transition, making that jump. Do it for the right reasons, like we talked about before. But it's very important to have a supportive spouse or supportive, you know, husband, wife, both ways. I love working with really strong married couples and talking to the both of them throughout my consultation process on the front end, because I get to know them both. I get to know their strengths of each one. Not to get off too far off on a different thing here, but I'd love to know which of the two partners is going to keep their day job and keep that train running while the other one steps away. So I think that'd be the second component there to all of this, is making sure that is kind of firmly grounded in good decision-making before we even start looking for a brand. It's not go, let's go talk about franchises and how great it is and get out the balloons and the steak and the sizzle and then talk about, oh, by the way, which one of you two is going to step away from your day job and go execute the business plan? We have that conversation, Nick, very early on in the process. And I just love working with couples and addressing both of their needs as it relates to these things.
Wow. So when you're talking about, you know, somebody, you know, stuck in their job and, you know, let's say they hate it and they want that freedom. So it sounds like a big part of your elevator pitch is, you know, this is something that you can do with your significant other. And frankly, that's a little bit of the hack.
It is. Well, you and I both know, well, at least my experiences have been most of the strongest franchisees are power husband-wife combos. We see that today in real estate, right? Some of the top performing real estate agents are mother and daughter combinations, right?
Right.
At least in my market, it is. You see a lot of father sons. You see a family agency. Very similar kinds of power comes in franchising when you've got both couples fully committed. And even if only one of them is going to spend a few hours a week helping with the tracking or the reporting, maybe just overlooking the scheduling, quality control, they may only have the time to put in a few hours a week. But if you've got that one supportive spouse, your chances of success have almost doubled, right? All of us can probably execute on our own, but if it was me, I'd love to have my wife be a part of whatever I'm doing. That's just me.
It's always been my personal cheat code. Absolutely. It's a little bit of a superpower, and I could tell you, being on the other side and being a franchisor and being in partnership with couples, that is a superpower, and we talk about it quite a bit. And so, my gosh, what words of wisdom there, and something that you probably didn't even think of. So TJ, I want to transition, somebody is considering franchise ownership. What are some questions they should be asking themselves before they begin the search?
Well, there's a good broker, in my space, we always do a pretty good assessment, everything. Backgrounds, let's talk about what you enjoy doing, preferences and so forth. But I like to get to make sure that the financial foundation is properly set up as well before we start looking at brands. So comfort level, current liquidity, total current, net worth. Also look at kind of what their balance of their portfolio looks like, just at a very high level. Again, we do not serve as financial planners or financial advisors, but we do look at diversification of portfolio. We're dealing with a lot of clients right now that are in their, my generation, in their 50s, that are looking for great ways to not only preserve wealth, right, but not just ride into the sunset and burn away whatever capital that they've got set aside for retirement. I'm also seeing a big trend out there of people in their 60s that are eligible for retirement. They've saved up a good amount of money, and they could easily retire and be comfortable in retirement. But there's something else that's kind of pulling them. They want their mind active. They want to stay physical active. And all of us have been reading about this stuff, like the fastest way to get old is to go do nothing. So I really enjoy working with clients that are in there in that kind of similar generation that I'm in, that want to stay active, stay physically fit like you, Nick, stay in shape, keep your mind active, run a team, do stuff. So there's a lot of things you can do for their, again, as long as the fit is proper and it's a comfortable investment for them and that you're not stretching too much beyond the investment comfort level. And I'm really passionate about that component as well. And it's fun doing that part on the matchmaking, because how often did you get to really pick specifically what you want to do with your next chapter in life? Usually in the W-2 world, in the corporate world, you take that job, you just go tackle it, right? You go after it, but you didn't really get to pick exactly what you wanted to do or what your impact was going to be. You just went out there and did it, right? That's what a lot of us did.
Yeah, what a fun process to be consulting in right there.
It is. And we do get a lot of people that do want to pick. They want to be pick what they want to do. And it's a really, it's a fun thing to be involved in.
Right. I think about what we do at Lime in how we help clients fall in love with their home again. But the other part of what we're doing is helping them express their personality through their space, whether it's inside or outside. And so that design part, one of my favorite parts of what we do, being able to help shape and help them fall in love with their home. For you, it's, helping them fall in love with what they do in this final phase and kind of how they round out their legacy, which, as I mentioned, sounds really exciting. And we also have franchise partners that, can relate to that. And what an honor to help folks create freedom and flexibility and legacy and create value in their community through job creation or solving problems. Like for us, we evaluate a lot of sun and water damage on luxury estates, and these are very expensive assets that deteriorate from sun and water damage. And, we provide very vetted solutions to clients that own those type of properties. you know, you can think of Uber Black, but again, just hitting on that part of like for us, that's the value, the difference we get to make in the community. And we show up through our values, gratitude, enthusiasm, tenacity, love, integrity, mission, excellence, discipline. It's our get limed slogan. That's how we serve our clients, serve one another. And, you know, if somebody's going through that matchmaking process, that's for them to fall in love with and choose. And, you know, it's much more than just kind of the high level. There's the nuts and bolts of what's the org chart and what are the levers in the business that need to be pulled to generate leads and to create satisfied customers. And, you know, so much of which you spend your life doing. And TJ, thank you again for being on the show. So much of what you've said has certainly inspired me. And I hope you are leveling up as you are watching. But I have another question for you. It's a good one. So what advice would you give to someone who just signed their franchise agreement?
Okay. Man, stick with that mission, right? You're buying into a system. That system, they've already done it 50 times, 100 times before. You know, there's books written on this stuff that have nothing to do with franchising. You know, stick to the knitting. We all learned that back in business books back in the 90s, right? Peter Drucker, you know, play to those strengths, use the playbooks, use the operating manuals, follow that system and follow that process, especially when you're first coming out of the gate. Always keep that strong belief in that system and don't doubt it. You know, you're able to validate, you're able to see other players in the system that are being very successful. So especially that first 6 months, sleep well at night, know you've made a good decision, but also remember to execute on that plan, right? In franchising, the only time we ever hear about people that might be struggling are the ones that maybe try to stray off the stray off the boat a little bit, or maybe do it their own way. That is my golden best advice, is just go with the program. Take advantage of all the learning opportunities. For my goodness, there's so many things. When you're also launching, take advantage of every learning experience, extra training. There's all kinds of voluntary groups that get together. They call them cohort groups, mastermind groups, learning engagements. Take advantage of that early, because once your team gets spun up and you get your first 2, 3, 5, 6 employees going, you'll have plenty of work to do then. Now that first 6 months is your time to take it all in. Take advantage of all the franchise resources and that learning and that extra business development support that, the franchises like Lime does. And their team is, again, the team at Lime is second to none.
Yay. Yeah. Get her done, right? Follow the playbook, execute, follow the process. Those are such fundamental golden nuggets there, TJ. Thank you for sharing. And even though they are obvious, they can oftentimes be overlooked. Why? Well, in your first year, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of firsts, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, because you're doing a lot of things the first time. And you are in this position of punching through and becoming a business partner. And that it clearly demonstrates your ability to execute and get things done. That's a big reason why you're awarded a franchise, so you can go out, get it done, grow the brand. And together with the franchisor, you go wide and deep across the country and grow the brand together. It's very much a partnership, and you are relied on to execute and go get it done. But, you know, just the 1 year quirkiness of it can be a little bit distracting. You can get caught up in the forest, if you will, and not necessarily see above it, and lose track of the fact that, look, there is a process, there is a system, there is training, and that's what I invested in, and that's what's going to help me shortcut and get in stride with the way, whatever that way is. For us, it's the Lime way, and Everything about the business is designed around that Lime way. And so, yeah, your go get it done ness about who you are, it is paramount to what's going to make you successful. But you definitely don't want that to hold you back from being a good student and a sponge. And so it's a little bit of a juxtaposition there. And so great advice, TJ. You know, as much as you get after it and figure it out and get it done, you have to be a sponge and be coachable and get in line with the system. And once you do and you're in stride, you know, the system wants you to help innovate and improve the customer experience. But there are standardized ways to go about collaborating and innovating. And so, again, together, you're ultimately serving the customer. And that alignment there is what makes franchising so special and why customers love it. And it creates consistency and quality across a lot of different industries. So again, TJ, thank you for your commitment to franchising and everything you've done. My final question to you, why do you love franchising so much?
I'm a systems guy. You know, I like systems, processes, procedures, you know, roadmaps, all those keywords. You know, I don't want to use all the buzzwords here, but, you know, blueprints, roadmaps, KPIs, dashboards, all the above. I'd say the second conclusion here is being a former technology guy for 20 years, watching computers modernize, dashboards modernize, integrations get better and better and better. You know, 30 years ago, we couldn't run a business from a tablet, right? There wasn't an Apple tablet back then. We had the first iPhone. But today, this the reporting, sales analytics, the scheduling tools, all that integration is such a beautiful thing. And we just didn't have that stuff 30 years ago. We just didn't. It was in silos. It was kind of clunky over here, kind of cool over there. You had a contact manager over here 30 years ago. But today, really, you can just embrace using what the franchise has built. They've got that technology and these stacks done. And that's one of my probably favorite parts about franchising is the whole modernization of the automations and modernizations of the interactions that you have with the tools. But anyway, that's a little bit of the data nerd and technology junkie in me.
Right. Technology is so integral in scaling. And especially with AI today, my goodness, but one single business owner compared to, you know, a group of owners across the country, you know, that can collectively pull resources to level up that infrastructure. That's a big advantage of a franchise organization. You talk about innovating and continuing to evolve the customer experience. In the background, you know, being a franchisor, there are constant betas and iterations that, you know, if you're a single operator, you just frankly don't have the bandwidth or the infrastructure to do. And yeah, just some of my favorite things about franchising as well, TJ. My gosh, thank you again for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. A lot of respect for you, man. And I'll be out to Denver to see you guys again probably next year.
Let's go.
Either a hockey game or something of that nature.
Absolutely. I would love that. Yeah, most certainly. So thank you, TJ, once more. Again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And if you appreciate it as much as I do, smash that subscribe button down below. It's how we are able to continue to grow and bring thought leaders like TJ onto the show. TJ, if folks would like to reach out to you, how can they get in touch?
Z&Z Franchising. Z like the letter zebra. N like Nancy. Z like Zebra. ZNZFranchising.com. That's my site. You can also find all my contact information right there. Love to have a no-obligation consultation. I usually spend about 30 minutes with all of my clients just getting to know them. We spend a one-hour assessment together. That's not talking about any brands. We don't talk about any franchises for the first 2 hours. It's all about getting to know you as a business leader, getting to know your family, getting to know your goals. So I appreciate that, Nick. Let me put a plug in.
Absolutely. Such important work. And one of the top matchmakers here with the Franchise Broker Association, one of the top matchmakers in the country, frankly. And if you have enjoyed this, again, drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.